Hi, everyone. Hope you are having a great week. I'm so excited to talk to you today about today's episode. It's all about blood work for those who can't lose weight or seem to be having the toughest time. I am so sick and tired of doctors brushing this off to the side because their patients, you know, are just saying, I can't lose weight and I don't know what it is, blah, blah, blah. Or they're just saying it's only about food or exercise, because that's not true. While those are two crucial things, there are often other things at play. And once you find some of those root causes as to what's going on, you know where to attack. You will now have a strategy, and I want that for you. So today, we're going to go over five blood tests that you need to know about if you are struggling to lose weight. Before I begin, I want to tell you about the actual School of DOZA. It's an online community where I teach classes every single week. You can ask me anything you want, and I love teaching. It's one of my passions. Tuition starts at $1. Go to schoolofdoza.com/signup. All right, let's jump into the topic. Class is in session. The first blood test you need to get if you're struggling to lose weight is you need to get your fasting insulin checked immediately. Fasting insulin is a hormone that is secreted by your pancreas. And insulin helps control your metabolism. It helps store everything you eat, like your protein, your carbs, and your fats. And insulin stores the glucose, the fat, and the proteins into your muscles and your fat cells and your liver. Now, for some people, they have a fatty liver. And most people in this country don't realize it. But 1 in 4 people in this country have a fatty liver. When you have a fatty liver, you have insulin resistance of that liver. When you have insulin resistance, you have obesity, because insulin resistance is commonly linked to obesity. And obesity, insulin resistance, is also found in things like type 2 diabetes. Now, insulin resistance is probably the reason why you're struggling to lose weight. If you're insulin resistant, think about inflammation. If you're inflamed, there's no way you're going to lose weight. And if you have insulin resistance, you have a hormone that you're releasing from your body whenever you eat. And the problem is that you eat too much at the wrong time, and you're spiking the release of your insulin over time, causing your body to be reluctant to release more insulin because you're going to need more as you get older. This is known as insulin resistance. And this is commonly developing 10 to 15 years before the diagnosis of type 2 diabetes mellitus. So by the time the person's 30 or 40 and they've had the diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, it's too late. You're already insulin resistant. You've been insulin resistant since you were probably a teenager. And when you started consuming fast food or eating junk food late at night or just drinking alcohol, any of the above, you're spiking your insulin. And if you keep eating foods at the wrong time when you're not hungry, you will also spike your insulin. And so if you are struggling to lose weight, you have to ask your doctor to check insulin, because they're not going to check insulin. They're going to check blood sugar. And this is why I hope that you're an advocate for your own health. The doctor is not really going to care about your insulin as much as you do. And if you're struggling to lose weight, the doctor might not even think, oh, well, you know what? It's your insulin. I'm going to tell you it's your insulin. 1 in 3 people in this country have insulin problems, which means that you probably do too. So go ask them to see how bad the insulin resistance is. And if it's above 10, you have some insulin resistance that you need to deal with. Optimal levels of fasting insulin should be around 5 to 8. Another blood test you need if you're struggling to lose weight is leptin. Leptin is insulin's wingman. Think of insulin as Batman. Think of leptin as Robin. We like Batman. Insulin and Batman, we need them. Leptin and Robin, we can use them, but we don't want too much of them. That's how you got to look at it, right? So when you spike your insulin, when you eat food at the wrong time, when you're not hungry, you develop insulin resistance, like I just explained. Well, you can also develop leptin resistance at the same time you're developing insulin resistance. So for the people out there, the 1 in 3 people right now in this country that are pre-diabetic, which means you're insulin resistant as we speak, you're also leptin resistant. Okay, like I said, Batman and Robin, right? So what happens is leptin is a hormone just like insulin, except leptin doesn't come from the pancreas. Leptin comes from fat cells. And if you think about where you have fat cells, you're exactly right. It's around your belly, your chest, your arms, and your thighs. And for some people, around your chin. Now, when you gain weight, your fat cells around your belly, around your chin, around your chest, your thighs, and your arms, they get bigger. They get bigger. When you gain weight, your fat cells get bigger in size and they get more inflamed and they actually expand. Like they expand in size. Because when you lose weight, those are the places that decrease in size, right? You lose weight around your chest, your belly, your thighs, your arms, right? So let's go back to these inflamed fat cells that we have and weight gain. If someone has trouble losing weight, they probably have leptin resistance. Leptin is a hormone that comes from fat inflamed cells. When you gain weight, leptin is the byproduct of that weight gain. You actually kick out leptin from the inflamed fat cells around your belly and your chest. And this leptin, its main purpose as a hormone, is to go to your brain and suppress your appetite. Leptin kills your appetite. Why would your body make a hormone like leptin to suppress your appetite? It's because you're eating too much at the wrong time. And this could be a reason why you have struggled to lose weight. If someone's insulin resistant, they don't know it most likely. They won't show up in their blood sugar. It'll show up in a fasting insulin. And if they're insulin resistant, they're also leptin resistant, which means they're causing inflammation from the insulin problem. And leptin is high and it's going to the brain and killing your appetite, which is confusing you. Because if you think about dinner time, most of you at home right now, I'm telling you, you're not hungry. Think about tonight when you're going to dinner, when you're about to eat, ask yourself right before you're about to eat, are you actually hungry? Because if you put on 10, 20 pounds, you have leptin resistance. If you've increased in waist circumference with your pants, right? All you guys out there listening, you have leptin resistance. If you have a beer belly, you have leptin resistance, which means you are never hungry. Clinically speaking, I could measure these labs, leptin would be high. It'd be above 10, just like insulin. So imagine leptin's at 20 and insulin's at 20. You have leptin resistance, you have insulin resistance, which means you're inflamed, you're overweight, and you're not actually hungry. You're craving the foods you're eating. It says in here, leptin is a product of the obese gene. Of the obese gene. There's a gene for obesity, apparently. And leptin comes from it. Another blood test you need if you're struggling to lose weight is HSCRP, high sensitivity C-reactive protein. Now, high sensitivity C-reactive protein is an inflammatory marker that is closely associated with abdominal obesity. Obesity is an interesting medical term, right? Because it's almost like it's like this thing that we can give a medication to and it'll just fix the problem. Let's talk about semaglutide real quick. So semaglutide is the miracle weight loss drug that helps you lose weight by helping support your insulin, which is a problem in weight gain. That's why I led with the idea that you need to get your insulin checked, because a lot of you who are taking semaglutide probably have never had a doctor who ordered your insulin. They probably just looked at your A1C, looked at you, and said, let's do it. But if you think about taking semaglutide, I would say go look at your HSCRP, because there might be a chance that when you regulate and help your insulin, you actually lower inflammation in the body, and that would be reflected in a lowering of an HSCRP blood test. obesity, low-grade inflammation, has been shown to be associated with increased C-reactive protein. And it seems to be that hsCRP, C-reactive protein, is an easy test to order to identify patients at risk for metabolic disorders that include obesity and diabetes. Do you know your hsCRP number off the top of your head? You should. Trust me. You probably know your fasting glucose off the top of your head. You could probably guess where your cholesterol is at. You should know where your hsCRP is. You're going to have to go into your doctor's office or your practitioner's office and demand that they order this test for you if you cannot find it on your standard lab panel. hsCRP, I order for every one of my clients. I don't think there's one client I don't order it for. I've ordered thousands of hsCRPs for thousands of clients over the years. And I found that it's really high in people who are always gaining weight. So when you start to lose weight, this number comes down. And when you start to gain weight, this number comes up. It's very simple. If you look at the lab range, the cutoff is 1. So go look at your lab range. If you're above 1, that's why you're probably struggling to lose weight. You're still inflamed. And if you hold on to inflammation, where are you going to hold on to inflammation? You're going to hold on to it around your belly, around your chest, right? Around your chin. Because when you start detoxing, losing weight, which is the key to weight loss, detoxing, you start reducing inflammation. And you notice it around the places where you hold on to fat cells. Another blood test you need to order if you're struggling to lose weight is estrogen. We have another podcast called Supporting Your Estrogen, which I really deep dive into why estrogen is so important to start supporting at the earliest age possible. And I truly believe that that other podcast about supporting your estrogen that we made that was just released is probably a podcast that should be listened to by every single woman and teenage girl. Estrogen is made in both men and women. It's not just a female problem. When you have high amounts of estrogen and you're a man, you have man boobs and a beer belly. Did you know that fat cells, the same ones that get inflamed when you gain weight, those inflamed fat cells also make estrogen? When you think about the beer belly and the man boobs, I think tons of estrogen production coming from your fat cells, and that could be the reason why you can't lose weight. If you think about women who have gained weight, those same fat cells, just like in men, those same fat cells will make estrogen. And this is why I think every woman should go back and listen to the Supporting Your Estrogen podcast, because think about this. When a woman goes into menopause, you're actually still making estrogen. If a woman has had her ovaries removed because of a hysterectomy, that woman is still making estrogen. Okay? You as a woman will continue making estrogen as you age. You just make different kinds of estrogen as you age. When you go into menopause, whether you have your ovaries or not after a hysterectomy is irrelevant because your fat tissue around your belly and your chest, that's what makes your estrogen now. When you gain weight, you actually produce estrogen from those inflamed fat cells around your belly. If you're a man, you're making estrogen from that beer belly. And if you're a woman, you have a beer belly, you're making estrogen too. But it's bad estrogen. It's inflammatory estrogen. It's not good estrogen for you. If a woman is not going into menopause yet, let's say she's 26, but she's overweight. A woman who is overweight, struggling to lose weight, is making inflammatory estrogen from inflamed fat cells around their chest, their belly, their arms, and their thighs. And that inflammatory estrogen production will cause a decrease of healthy estrogen production coming from the ovaries. And if you see how this is connected now, Think about how obesity puts a woman into menopause at an earlier age than they should go into it. Let me say that again. Obesity will put a woman into menopause. It doesn't matter if they're 20. It doesn't matter if they're 28. Your fat cells make inflammatory estrogen, and all that needs to happen, and for in order to have that happen is inflammation. If you have inflammation from eating at the wrong time, you have insulin resistance. Then it builds leptin resistance, which causes inflammation of your fat cells, which then also produce inflammatory estrogen. And you can measure this in labs. I measure, like a lot of women will come in and do labs with me. These are the labs that I would order for you. If you're a woman who's struggling to lose weight and you come in, I'm not just going to give you semaglutide, because I know all these labs are probably off in you, and semaglutide is not going to fix all this. It will help it, but there's a lot of issues at play here. Let's go back to this estrogen real quick. You want to talk about the severity of what it looks like to have inflamed fat cells that make inflamed hormones? Most doctors out there don't realize that fat cells are an organ, but your fat cells are an organ. It was discovered less than 20 years ago that the fat cells around your belly are an organ, and they do in fact make hormones known as estrone, which is an inflammatory estrogen found in menopause. It's also the same estrogen found in breast cancer. So if I see a woman that has high amounts of estrogen when they're in menopause or they've had their ovaries removed, I'm really concerned. Because I want to know where that estrogen is coming from, because I almost guarantee you it's coming from the fat cells. And if the fat cells are making a lot of inflammatory estrogen, you're struggling to lose weight. And here's the other thing that drives me up the wall. There are doctors out there that have never, ever, ever ordered this fat cell estrogen on a woman. Let me repeat that. A woman makes 7 different estrogens over the course of a lifetime. You can measure 3 of them in lab work. The estrogen that I'm talking about measuring is called E1, estrone. If you measure it in labs and it's elevated, that's bad. If you're a 20-year-old female and you have high amounts of estrone, that's bad. If you're a 60-year-old female and you have high amounts of estrone and you're in menopause, that's bad. I have here that this estrone that comes from fat tissue, 100% of circulating estrogen in menopausal women, 100% of that estrogen comes from adipose tissue, fat cells. And if you have high amounts of estrogen coming from fat cells, there's a direct link to breast cancer. Another blood test that you need to order if you're struggling to lose weight is cortisol. Cortisol is a test that usually measures this hormone coming from your adrenal glands. Cortisol is known as the stress hormone. But patients who gain weight, especially in their midsection, they have elevated levels of cortisol in their blood work. I'm sure that there's a lot of people listening who have measured their cortisol. Cortisol increases in times of stress. It usually increases in the morning whenever we wake up. This is just the natural way it should happen. But here's what happens when you gain weight. When you gain weight, you don't have that cortisol in the morning. Research has shown that the higher your body mass index, the higher your weight, the lower your cortisol production in the morning. And this is why people struggle to gain any kind of energy in the morning to boost their metabolism. They're deficient in cortisol production in the morning. But what happens throughout the day, stress increases your cortisol, right? Naturally. So what happens at the end of a stressful day? Your cortisol is sky high. If your cortisol is higher at night than it is in the morning, you're inflamed, you gain weight, and you cannot sleep. I could make the case that someone that has high cortisol has poor sleep. And I could make the case that someone that has high cortisol also has gained a lot of weight. Research will back me up on this. There's strong evidence to suggest the disruption of cortisol circadian rhythm as a possible cause of obesity. We've heard of the circadian rhythm, right? We know about melatonin. Melatonin and cortisol have a direct connection. When melatonin is up, cortisol is down. That's why we sleep at night. And that's why when we wake up, cortisol is low. But if you don't have enough energy or nutrients in order to make the cortisol, then you wake up after a horrible night rest and you have no cortisol production. And you've gained weight because your circadian rhythm is off. If you have poor sleep, you gain weight. I really can't measure your melatonin directly, but I can measure your cortisol. And if your cortisol is sky high, you're gaining weight, you're inflamed, and your sleep is horrible. And you probably have blood sugar issues on top of it because cortisol also raises your blood sugar. So let's recap this. What's fascinating about weight loss and weight gain is that someone who has lost weight in a healthy way is reducing inflammation in the body and balancing their hormones. A person who has gained weight has inflammation and hormone imbalance. But which hormones? We talked about cortisol. We talked about estrogen. We talked about leptin. We talked about insulin. And we talked about HSCRP. Four hormones and one liver protein. And when someone gains weight, all of those hormones are thrown off. I could look at those labs without ever looking at the client and guess that they've gained weight and that their sleep is horrible and that they're tired and sluggish, right? And if they're a woman, I could imagine they feel horrible. And if they're a man, they have low testosterone because of all this and man boobs. They probably don't feel all that great either. This is why I do weight loss. I do weight loss because I understand it. We don't understand metabolism. We don't understand fatty liver disease. We don't understand diabetes. If you order the right tests, you get the right information. I'm a huge advocate for getting your labs done on a yearly basis. On a yearly basis. And if you cannot find a practitioner who will order these labs for you, I will. I will order these labs for you. If you think about a practitioner who will explain it to you, we're working on training all those right now. But in the meantime, you can listen to this podcast again. You can go to our reading lab series and go listen to all the individual labs that we talk about in those podcasts. Because we've gone over all of these. We just kind of accumulated all of them together so you can see the bigger picture. You have just learned about diabetes, dementia risk, heart disease risk, as well as cancer risk. Oh, probably a little bit of PCOS, probably a little bit of adrenal fatigue, and probably indirectly a little bit of thyroid issues, all in this podcast, all by simply ordering these labs. If you want to simplify this, go back and just say, here are the labs that you need to order if you're struggling to lose weight. Cortisol, estrone, E1, HSCRP, leptin, and insulin. If you need to know how those labs pertain to you, here are the optimal ranges. You need insulin and leptin below 10. You need HSCRP 0.5 to 0.8. You need estrone, depending on your age, you probably need it within range, just put it that way. And with cortisol, you probably want it in the teens, probably around 10 to 15 in the morning, maybe a little bit higher for some. If you have problems with these labs, your job is to get them in optimal range. If you don't know how to do it, supplements. One of my favorite ones to take is mitochondriac. It has resveratrol in it. By MSW Nutrition. Go to the links in our show notes. But mitochondriac is my favorite form of resveratrol. I take it every morning. It helps me with my blood sugar, but it also helps me with my insulin. If you take a supplement, you're helping your hormones. You're helping your metabolism. You're helping yourself to help keep a healthy weight. I myself have lost 40 to 45 pounds over the years, and it wasn't by accident. I've kept off 45 pounds healthy in a healthy way because I can control my insulin now and I can control my leptin, my inflammation, my hsCRP is down, my cortisol is under control, and I'm not making any estrogen because I am not overweight anymore. I feel incredible, and I want you to feel as credible as well, and you have to be your own advocate. You have to order your own labs, and if you can't find that person, I'll do it for you. I hope you take this information and run with it. You have to act on it. Be proactive. Go to your doctors and get these labs done. And like I said, if they won't, I will. Go to nursedoza.com/consults, and I'm your guy. I'll go over any other labs you've already had. If not, I'll order new ones for you. Have a wonderful week. Join our School of Doza. Tuition starts at $1. schoolofdoza.com/signup. Take some of our supplements from MSW Nutrition. Take mitochondria. It's great for you. Take it in the morning. Class is concluded. Keep working on your health. See you in school.